Jesus Christ, the King of the Universe. The truth is that even if we leave off that last part of the title, King of the Universe, every time we say Jesus Christ, we are recognizing the kingship of Jesus. Remember that the Greek word Christ, as well as the Hebrew word Messiah, both mean anointed, right? And so in the Old Testament, who are the people that are anointed into their special roles in salvation history? Well, there are the priests. At least we're told that in Exodus, Moses anoints Aaron as the high priest and his sons to their ministry. Also, some of the prophets, not all the prophets are necessarily anointed, but some of the prophets are anointed to their prophetic role. But always, always kings are anointed. Saul is anointed. David is anointed. Solomon is anointed. All the kings of Israel are anointed to their office. And so, although this title of Christ reminds us of the threefold office, the threefold power that Jesus has, certainly by the time that Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the real connotation of the term Messiah or Christ is that of King, the King of the Jews. And so, truly, and we should, you know, keep that in mind, every time that we say Jesus Christ, we are proclaiming the kingship of Jesus. And so this kingship allows us to reflect today on two great characteristics, two great qualities that Jesus wants to bring to his kingdom, which is to say to us, and that is justice and mercy. Now, of course, it is always the business of the king to be concerned with justice. He is the ultimate authority, the final judge. It is his job to make sure that there is a proper and just order in his kingdom. You may remember the great story about Solomon, how he is asked to judge between these two mothers that claim this one child, and he, you know, he says, well, we'll just cut the child in half. You can each have half of the dead child, right? Because in his wisdom, he knows that the true mother of that child will give the child up rather than let it be killed. In just the same way, with an even deeper wisdom, Jesus Christ brings judgment, brings justice to his kingdom. And that is why we hear this language in the gospel today of separation, right? Separating the sheep from the goats. Or you may remember how John the Baptist, when he first begins to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, he says, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will separate the wheat from the chaff. Right? It is the job of the king to separate what is good from what is bad in order to protect what is good. That's the whole point, of course. Now, we'd all like to say, hey, I'm the good, right? You know, Jesus, don't put me among the goats. I'm one of the good people. I try to live a good life, right? But the question is, do our actions, do our choices really bear that out? I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to lead a retreat for the men of the Campbell County parishes, and it was kind of fun. We did it on modern technology and social media, so lots of interesting discussion there. But as you can imagine, one of the topics that we covered was internet pornography, which is a huge problem. This is, of course, a total aside, but let me share with you a couple of statistics because it builds up to the point that I want to make here. Here are a couple of statistics about internet pornography. Every second now, over $3,000 is being spent on pornography. And by the way, these numbers are from a study that I did in seminary. They're like 7 years old, so I can only imagine it's worse now. But, you know, that's over $11 million per hour, over $256 million per day being spent on pornography. That shows you the scope of the problem. Every second, 28,258 users are viewing pornography. And sometimes people say, well, you know, am I really hurting anybody when I give in to this temptation? But perhaps the two most troubling statistics that are out there are about our children. 15 to 17-year-olds who have seen multiple examples of hardcore pornography, 80%. 8 to 16-year-olds who have seen pornography in one form or another, mostly while working on homework. They're not looking for it. It comes looking for them. 90%. So, you know, it's useless to say, well, this doesn't hurt anyone else. You know, there are consequences for allowing a society to exist with this kind of sin, of pornography. I shared with these men a great letter, pastoral letter on this topic, written by the former Bishop of Arlington, Bishop Paul Laverde, called Bought with a Price. And certainly I recommend that to you. He makes a great number of points about how this is not a victimless crime. But the real point, again, this has all kind of been an aside, but the real point is he has this great quote that I shared with him, and it's very important to what Jesus is reminding us here today. He says, remember, one becomes virtuous by the very act of practicing virtue, and one becomes depraved by practicing acts of vice. Right? That's the truth. Every time that we commit sin, we make ourselves bad. Every time that we commit wickedness, we make ourselves wicked. And so it is the job of the good shepherd, of the just king, because it is his job to keep justice and judgment in his kingdom, to run it correctly, to separate us out. To separate us out when we become evil. Unless, of course, we repent. And that brings us to the second great quality of Jesus' kingship, and that is his mercy. You know, there's always that temptation to just kind of think of mercy as the icing on the cake of justice. You know, really God is just, but every once in a while he's nice and shows us mercy. No, that is to miss the whole point. And really, we can understand how central mercy is to Jesus' kingship by remembering the history of kingship in the Bible. Remember that it was never God's will that his people Israel should have a king. He was to be their king. The law that he had given them was to be the way in which he ruled over them. But the people rebelled against that idea. They said, no, we want a king. We want to be like all the other nations around us. And there's this really damning line in 1 Samuel where God says to the prophet Samuel, you are not the one they are rejecting. They are rejecting me as their king. But even though, you know, God's people rejected him and his plan in this way, he didn't give up on them. You know, he showed mercy upon them and he actually took up their wish and he gave it to them. He gave them a king, but he gave them a new kind of kingship, because in the end, he did not give up the idea of being the king of his own people, but instead, through the incarnation, he became one of his people. He became the true king of the Jews, the true ruler over his people, Israel. And see, that is the heart of Jesus' kingship, is this revelation that God will always surprise us with his mercy, that he's always able to bring greater good out of evil, that he always makes himself accessible to us, even in the midst of our sin. And so, you know, that quality of mercy in the kingship of Jesus Christ, it also helps us make sense of this separation, again, that we hear of in the gospel between the sheep and the goats. Because notice that when the king separates out the goats for damnation, he does not condemn them for, you know, doing horrible things. He doesn't say, you have committed lust and pride and envy and wrath and all the things that you have done, your sins of commission. Those aren't the reason that he condemns them. He condemns them for their sins of omission, of not doing what they were called to do. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me. You did not show mercy. And so as Christians, you know, by our baptism, we share in the threefold anointing and office of Jesus Christ. But if we are going to really live out that kingship, that queenship, if you will, of Jesus Christ in our lives, then we have to be both just and merciful. We have to practice justice. This is why the bishops are always reminding us of those important social justice issues in our world today: abortion and euthanasia, the defense of traditional marriage, religious liberty, the reform of our immigration laws, right? We as Christian people are called to bring justice to our country. But at the same time, we are called to live a life of mercy, of extending mercy to those around us, of practicing the seven corporal and spiritual works of mercy. It is by living that life of justice and mercy that we become members of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So as we celebrate today Christ's kingship, let us live a life of justice. First of all, being made good by the good choices that we make, and being kept from evil by not committing those evil choices. First in ourselves, but then also, of course, working for justice in our society, that we may not be separated out of the kingdom. And then let us live a life of mercy. First, always receiving that mercy, that great, surprising, always accessible mercy of Jesus, which is especially made available to us in the sacrament of penance. But also by showing that mercy to those around us in just the same surprising and always present, inexhaustible way. Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, have mercy on us.